On the first week, we proclaimed, I believe in God. On the second week, I believe in Jesus. This week, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We're going to read verses 5 through 15. John 16, 5 through 15. Keep your hand here. We'll be staying here for a while. And as I read it, I'll remind you that this is the Word of God. But now I am going to him who sent me, says Jesus. And none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose it to you, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Let's pray. Now, Lord, this is one of those passages where we so much wish we could be in the sandals of the apostles when they heard this. This whole segment of John 14, 15, 16, 17 is called Jesus' farewell discourse. And he had told them that he was going to leave them. And because of this, sadness filled their heart. And we can understand that. But then he told them the most astounding statement. He said it's better for you if I go away. Now, if I'd been there, I don't think I would have believed that. That'd have been hard to swallow. But yet he says, I tell you the truth. And we know Jesus speaks truth. And he said to them, it's better for you to go away. In fact, it's to your advantage if I go away, because I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. So this morning we look at the Holy Spirit. We do it in the context of the Creed. We've come to that portion of the Creed where it makes a simple statement. I believe in the Holy Spirit. So I would ask that Holy Spirit help us to think of the truth this morning. Amen. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Each of the three share equal billing. Father, Son, and Spirit. The Creed is what we call Trinitarian. It's based on the idea of the Trinity. The Trinity is a very difficult subject to wrap our minds around. I understand that more than anybody. It's very hard to grasp what is our God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it is what the Scripture teaches. The Creed recognizes that by putting Father, Son, and Spirit in the Creed. It means, Trinitarian means that like God the Father is a person, and God the Son is a person, God the Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, like Father, like Son. He is a personal being. He is not an impersonal force. He's not just a force, okay? He is an actual personal being. In this chapter, we see the fact that he is personal because every pronoun used in all of Scripture for the Spirit is he, right? Look at verse 7. I will send him to you, verse 8, and he, when he comes, verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in truth. He will not speak of his own initiative. He hears, he speaks. He will disclose it to you. He will glorify me. He will take of mine, verse 15. He takes of mine and will disclose it to you. He. Now that is particularly significant because the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, okay, is neuter. It's neither masculine or feminine. Yet in the Greek, it breaks the rules of grammar that even though it uses this word spirit, it always uses a masculine pronoun. It doesn't say, when the Spirit comes, it will guide you in truth. It will hear. It will speak. It will disclose. No, he will. He will. So the person that we're talking about isn't Jesus. It isn't the Father. That person is the Holy Spirit. Keep your hand here. Go to Matthew 28 real quick. And you are very familiar with this passage, but I will draw it to your attention. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name, notice, that's singular, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now notice, one name, three persons, Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Again, like the Creed, they're each given equal billing. They're each given an equal place, Father, Son, Spirit. Our God is Trinitarian. He's Father, He's Son, and He's Spirit. Wherever true Christianity is found, there's the affirmation of the Trinity. To reject the Trinity is to reject true Christianity. There are many false cults that want to claim to be Christian, but deny the Trinity. They are not Christian. Christianity is based upon the revelation of Scripture that there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The three are one. Now, if you go back to John 16, you notice in verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to me. But if I go, I will send him to you. It is to our advantage to understand the role of the Holy Spirit. It is to our advantage to understand the role of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm a Baptist. Sometimes folks like me get nervous talking about the Spirit. Okay, but it's because of what we see as excesses and abuses in the Pentecostal movement. That because of that, we're accused of ignoring the Spirit. But we don't want to ignore the Spirit. The song that we just sang is an excellent song. Many songs on the Holy Spirit make me nervous because I think they fall off the rails, okay? But that song is an excellent song about what the Holy Spirit as a person does, okay? Nowhere in Scripture are we told to glorify the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's chief office is to glorify Christ. Look at verse 14. He will glorify me. He doesn't The Spirit has not come to glorify himself, to make it about himself, to draw attention to himself. His role is to glorify Jesus. Okay, that's his role. Verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine, Jesus says. Therefore, he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. He takes the truth of Christ and discloses it to us. Not the truth about himself. That's not his role. Look back at chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now notice, whom the Father will send in my name, Christ's name. He is sent as an envoy of Christ. His role is to glorify Christ, to magnify Christ. Chapter 15, verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, about Christ. That is his role. That's his chief office. The Holy Spirit points to the Son. In fact, go to John chapter 8. The Holy Spirit points to the Son, and the Son points to the Father. Look at John chapter 8, verse 26. But I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who has sent me is true. The things which I heard of him, these I speak to the world. So Jesus has come on a mission from the Father, verse 28. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak the things as the Father taught me. Verse 29, and he who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Verse 49. Jesus answered, I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father. Verse 50. I do not seek my glory. Verse 54. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, and to whom I say he is our God. So, the Spirit points to the Son points to the Father points back to the Son. But nowhere do we read the Father or the Son glorifies the Spirit. We're not to now again, the Spirit is God the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of the Trinity. I understand that. But each part of the Trinity had determined in the foreknowledge of God for a specific role. The Son would die, the Spirit would come and glorify the Son. So, we're going to talk this morning on the personal aspect, okay? The personal aspect. How do we know that the Holy Spirit is a person? Well, the Holy Spirit has the attributes of a person. Go back to John 16. The Holy Spirit has the attributes of a person. John 16, 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He possesses intelligence. He possesses intelligence. He knows the truth, and he will apply that truth. Okay? He speaks. The rest of verse 13. He will not speak on his own. However, what he hears, he will speak. So he has the attributes of a person. He hears, he speaks, he comprehends, he has intelligence. He's not just a force. He's not just an invisible force. He is the third person of the Trinity. He has the attributes of a person. Secondly, the Holy Spirit does the works of a person. He does the works of a person. Verse 8. But he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Okay? Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. In other words, the answer to sin is Jesus. The problem of sin is solved on the cross. All right? The answer to sin was the sacrifice of Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to convict people of sin. Because they don't believe in Jesus, they have no solution to their sin. Okay? He convicts. Concerning righteousness, verse 10, he convicts concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father and you no longer see me. Again, Christ is righteousness. And we saw in previous lessons, he ascended back to God in his rightful place. As he sits at the right hand of God, he is our righteousness. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. That, of course, is Satan. And on the cross, Christ defeated the works of the devil. He's been defeated. The Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of those things. He does the work of a person. He guides. Verse 13 says, he will guide you into all truth. He teaches. Again, verse 13. Chapter 14, verse 26. 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. It goes on to say, and bring to your remembrance all that I said. He comforts. Okay? The role of the Spirit was to comfort the apostles after Jesus left. He's the comforter. He testifies, again, about Christ. Chapter 15, verse 26. 15:26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, this is the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me. About me. So, he not only has the attributes of a person, he's not just some force. He does the works of a person. He does personal work, if you will. The Holy Spirit can be interacted with as a person. He can be interacted with as a person. He has feelings. He has feelings. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He can be grieved. He can be grieved. He can be sinned against. He can be sinned against. Acts 5:3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your hearts a lie to the Holy Spirit to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Now, I want you to notice there, by the way, he sinned against the Holy Spirit by lying to the Holy Spirit. And Peter also recognized he was lying to God. God the Spirit. Okay. He can be obeyed. If you can sin against him, obviously, then you can also obey him. Acts 10:19. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I am the one who you're looking for. What is the reason for which you have come? In other words, he is obeying the command of the Spirit. The Spirit said, go. Peter went. He has feelings. He can be sinned against. He can be obeyed. He can be insulted. He can be insulted. Hebrews 10:29. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled under the foot of the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant which has been sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? So he can be interacted with as a person. He does the work of a person. He has the attributes of a person. He's a personal being. God in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lastly, the Holy Spirit abides with us as a person. The Holy Spirit abides with us as a person. John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, and he abides with you and will be in you. And Spirit was sent by Christ. When we say Christ is in our hearts, that's true. But specifically, we are indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. He abides with us. By the Spirit, we are made alive. By the Spirit, we've been made alive. Titus 3:5. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the instrument in which causes us to be born again. The washing of regeneration, rebirth, renewing. The Holy Spirit is that which makes us alive when we come to know Christ and are born again. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. We are made alive by the Spirit, but we are also put to death by the Spirit. We're put to death by the Spirit, Romans 8:12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So it's the Spirit that makes us alive to Christ and dead to sin. We are put to death by the Spirit to sin, but we are made alive in the Spirit to Christ. And lastly, we are led by the Spirit. He abides with us. We are led by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now, there's the choice. If you don't want to carry out the desire of the flesh, then walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. As we are led by the Spirit, as we walk by the Spirit, we depend on the Spirit to put sin to death. Instead, we show the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because he is actually living in us. He abides in us. So how do I demonstrate that I believe in the Holy Spirit? Again, the creed says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe you meet him daily in the Word. Remember, Jesus repeatedly said the Spirit's role is to disclose truth to you. He will disclose what the Father has told me, and I will tell you through the Spirit. Now, the primary application of it, I believe, was to the apostles who gave us the New Testament. Okay, the Holy Spirit was sent so that they could disclose the things that Jesus had not had time to tell them, that he was going to tell them, wanted them to know later. So the Holy Spirit was come to give us the New Testament. But the New Testament is where we can hear the mind of the Spirit. Okay? We meet him daily in the Word. We depend on him for victory over sin and the ability to bear fruit. How do I demonstrate that I believe in the Holy Spirit? I join with other believers every chance I get. Now, next week, we're going to talk about that phrase that we've all been stumbling over every week, the Holy Catholic Church. Okay? All right? What do we mean by the Holy Catholic Church? And I'm going to put the two phrases together. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the Communion of Saints, because I think understanding what it means by the Communion of Saints will help us understand what it means by the Holy Catholic Church. Okay? In light of that, we will be having communion next Sunday. Okay? And we'll do again with the self-enclosed wafer and juice. At this point, we won't be sharing, passing. You'll be picking up your own when you come in. But we're going to see that the communion of the saints, which of course does reference communion, but it has a broader meaning than that. But the fact is that as we get together as believers, okay, as we get together as the Holy Catholic Church, as we get together as the communion of saints, we are building, the Bible says, a habitation for the Spirit. The Spirit is there because the Spirit abides in us, but we are being fit together like a growing temple to the Lord. Let's pray. Now, Lord, yes, we need a balance. I understand that. Sometimes we neglect to talk about the Spirit or downplay the Spirit because others overemphasize the Spirit or claim things about the Spirit that aren't true. But Lord, we do want to recognize, as the Creed did, that you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So help us to rely on the advantage that we have been given. We Christians have the Holy Spirit. The world does not. He came to convict the world, but he came to indwell believers. We have the Holy Spirit. We can have victory over sin through the Spirit putting sin to death and us living in the Spirit. We can have a fruit that is against perhaps our very nature, a human nature, because of the nature of the Spirit in us. So we believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. Amen.